Well, thank you everyone for having me. As Isabel said, I'm based in Brussels. I've been there for the past 4 years or so, but I am also a proud Essex girl. And I actually did my undergraduate degree here in Warwick, although I have to say they did not let us students use rooms as nice as this. So it's a real pleasure to be here. And I did make it out of Warwick with a degree in economics and politics. So I'm going to be talking about library advocacy, but just to say that my background is very much on advocacy, and I've really learnt a lot about libraries over the past almost 3 years I've been working for Public Libraries 2020, and so it's always a pleasure to be in a room filled with librarians. So can I just get a quick show of hands? Who has heard of us, Public Libraries 2020? Oh, that's brilliant. That's more than I was expecting, so that's always good to see. So for those of you who don't know us so well, as Isabel said, we're a European public library advocacy project in Brussels. We were founded in 2014 with a very generous grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I think some of you will be familiar with their work, but they did a whole global libraries programme in Europe, looking particularly at Eastern European countries and library infrastructure. And we were lucky enough to have a legacy grant to do some work with public libraries all across Europe. And our two goals, on the one hand, we're not a membership organisation, but we do like to work really closely with the sector, so with librarians from all across Europe, helping them to develop their ability to advocate for themselves. And then our second goal, and the reason why we're based in Brussels, is very much focusing on political advocacy and on lobbying, on raising awareness of the work that public libraries are doing. There are 65,000 public libraries in the EU, so really raising the profile of public libraries. And often, especially at the beginning of the project, a lot of our work was challenging some maybe outdated perceptions that EU policymakers had of what a modern public library can achieve and the potential they have to contribute to these EU level priorities. We're also at a bit of a turning point in our project because we're coming to the end of our funding cycle, so we're really trying to think about how we can capitalise on all of the work we've done over the past 4 years and how we can maintain some of the relationships and some of the projects that we've built up. So over the next, I think I have about 20 minutes, I'm going to talk you through 5 things that we have learnt about library advocacy in Europe. I am very aware that I keep talking about the EU and I'm in a room full of British people, so I'm just going to put that out there. I mean, we're still in for the moment, so I do think it's still relevant. And also, I think there are some very clear parallels that can be drawn between the work that we've been doing at the European level and then how advocacy works on a national and even on a local level. Just to start with, I want to just revisit what we mean by advocacy, especially when I'm talking to non-native English speakers. Sometimes the word advocacy causes a little bit of confusion, but the definition that we tend to use is just influencing policy for an outcome that benefits the sector. So in this case, it's the European library sector. And I think, as you can see up here, there are two goals for us. So it's firstly around political influence and visibility, but then also very much overlapping with that is that it's about money and about generating funding opportunities. And at PL 2020, our focus so far has been very much on political influence and visibility. That's much easier than generating funding opportunities at the EU level and something that we had to build up in order to have the opportunity to look at funding. But going forward, we're thinking more and more about how to open up some pockets of money for libraries across Europe, especially thinking about there's a new budget cycle that's going to be starting in 2020. So trying to look at how we can shape that budget cycle now in order to generate some funding opportunities for libraries in the future. And we're also thinking about for us personally for private funding and if there's some interesting partnerships we can do there. And we've very recently just got confirmation of a project we're doing with Google with libraries in the UK and Ireland. So we're really excited to be looking at that. So let's dive in. 5 things that we've learned about European library advocacy. Number one, it's all about relationships. I think obviously when you do any kind of lobbying or political advocacy, having some kind of political awareness, political understanding of how the EU institutions work. I'm not sure I still understand 100% how the EU institutions work, but understanding where politicians can have influence, that's important, of course. But what it all comes down to, I think, is really about relationships. So this, I think some of you know Ilona, our director, who's on the board. And I wonder if anyone recognises this member of European Parliament. I know you do. She's Scottish, yeah. Yeah, it's Catherine Styler, a Scottish member of European Parliament. She's been a member for almost 20 years, I think. So she's very experienced, very influential in the European Parliament. And we actually met her at an event in the Netherlands that was organised by the National Library there. We saw that she had like a real genuine personal passion and interest for libraries. So we worked over 2-3 years now to develop that personal relationship with her and with her office, with her assistants in Brussels. And what's fantastic is that it got to the point, there's a huge copyright reform going on in the EU at the moment that I think some of you are aware of. And she actually approached us and asked us for our amendments and our wording to add to her report that she was writing. So to get to the point where it's the politician approaching you rather than you having to lobby the politician, I think is so valuable, and is really thanks to our personal relationship that we cultivated with her. And I think there's something about relationship building that also puts you in a position of trust when it comes to what we kind of call crisis advocacy. So when something happens or when you need to work fast or do something, you're not caught on the back foot, and it's not the first time that you're calling your policymaker to say, I need help, I need you to work with me. There's already a level of trust and relationship there. Number two, we can make the policy agenda work for us. I was just speaking about copyright reform, which of course is a huge policy area for us when it comes to EU lobbying. But really, especially when I started this job, there was really a perception from policymakers, but also to some extent from the sector, about libraries being part of cultural policy. Of course they are, but I think we know, and we know that you know, that libraries are about so much more than that, about the community, about digital skills, about all of these things that maybe policymakers don't think about. And a challenge for us has been about framing our advocacy message in a positive way. So presenting libraries not as the problem, but as the solution, and pointing at those objectives and priorities at EU level, and showing how libraries can contribute to those. So really, the effectiveness of our advocacy approach has been to lead with the issues, and connecting the issues that are relevant for both libraries and for policymakers. So I won't spend too much time on this, but it's just to give you an idea. We've done some analysis, really, and some thinking about our own messaging, especially coming up to the European elections next year, which is going to be a big time for us. Looking at how the library values map onto EU agenda themes and some of the current issues. So just to quickly go through, I'm going to start at the bottom actually, because I want to finish at the top. So library values, openness of course is a huge one, and we really see the EU now starting to look at social inclusion, and I think what motivated that was really the migrant crisis, really made the EU start to think about their long-term policies on social inclusion and their response to that. And we've seen some fantastic stories. I'm thinking of Cologne Public Library in Germany, but also some of the Scandinavian countries really leading the way on the response to migrants and being able to open up some pockets of money that way. So we really see an opportunity here to develop a narrative not only about migrants, but about what we've been hearing about the unique selling point of libraries, if you like, is reaching communities and reaching those socially excluded groups that the EU is really also trying to reach and is having difficulty capturing. Just moving up to the middle of the table, citizen engagement and democratic empowerment. There's a fantastic library in Denmark, DOC1. I don't know if any of you maybe have been there, I think you've been. And they're really kind of really thinking about libraries as democratic spaces, and they have what they call citizen services within the library, which is fantastically important and also really interesting, I think, in a time of maybe disillusionment and mistrust with traditional politics, I would say, all across Europe. In Brussels, all we hear about nowadays is fake news and also media literacy. So we see real crossovers there with things that, that public libraries are doing, and again, an opportunity to develop a narrative there. Finishing at the top, digital skills. For us, that's been the real hook. That's been where we've had the most success when we've been talking to EU policymakers. I think you guys know better than anyone how technology is changing the world and kind of disrupting the way we've traditionally done things. And we see in Brussels the EU really positioning itself as a front runner when it comes to digital. So they want to create this digital single market. They're leading the way on GDPR, on artificial intelligence, on all these kind of things. And so that, now they're really thinking about what they can do to help Europeans develop digital skills, and particularly basic digital skills. So that's where we've had the most success so far, and where we're thinking about the future. And just to give you an idea of what we've done with that so far, it's a little bit small, but we ran an exhibition for the past 2 years called Generation Code, Born at the Library. We did it in the European Parliament, and we did it during EU Code Week. So really making the link there with digital skills. And we brought in exhibits from public libraries all across Europe. We had some really cool stuff. We had like virtual reality from Lithuania. And then at one point we had this bike that recycles plastic to then make filament for your 3D printer that was actually developed by a library in the Netherlands. Like, just to show policymakers and members of European Parliament what's happening in their public libraries. And bringing it to their doorsteps, but most importantly, getting librarians from every EU member state talking to their policymakers and meeting with their members of European Parliament and speaking in their language about their country, about what's happening, particularly on digital skills. So that's something we're going to be continuing this year, and also thinking about how we can, like I said, shape some funding opportunities when it comes to digital skills. That leads me on to number four. Librarians make excellent ambassadors, and I think that's absolutely true. Sometimes when we've spoken to librarians from all across Europe, there's maybe sometimes a little bit of a reluctance or a doubt that librarians have the skills or the training or the capacity to advocate, but in my experience, and I think this is true for all of you, often being a librarian working in libraries, it's not just a 9-to-5 job. I think there's a real passion and a real belief in what you do and what you do for your communities and for your users. And I think that's actually one of the most powerful qualities in an advocate, is to believe in what you do. I just want to talk about our MEP Library Lovers Group. So MEP, Member of European Parliament Library Lovers Group, which we launched 2 years ago. And Catherine Styler, the MEP I showed you at the beginning, she's our sponsor, which has been fantastic. So we brought together, it's an informal grouping of members of European Parliament from all across Europe, from across the political spectrum, bringing them together for their love of libraries for whatever reason, and just doing some really interesting fun projects with them. Something we did recently was a project called 60 Books for the Summer, where we asked all of our MEP library lovers, and we have almost 100 now, which is really exciting, out of 750 MEPs. We asked them to give their book recommendations for the summer, and we compiled this it's a very eclectic, multilingual list of books for the summer. So that's my challenge to you guys, is to go and have a look on our website, on our Twitter, see how many you've read. There are some really odd ones in there, so enjoy that. But we've been doing the projects in Brussels like that, but what's been so important for us in our MEP Library Lovers Group has been to get MEPs into libraries. And I was so pleased to see in your presentation, you had an MP, you had the mayor in the library. For us, getting a policymaker into a library in their country, in their constituency, 1 hour visit is worth 50 hours of us going into their office in Brussels and telling them how great libraries are. So that's something we've really, really been working on. This is, on the right, we have a librarian from Latvia, Daiga, and with her MEP from her constituency. And this is one of the books that he recommended for the 60 Books for the Summer list. So she used that as a kind of hook to bring him in, present his book, and speak to the users. So that's always really heartwarming. And you can see on our website some of the other visits that have happened. And we're really thinking about using, like I said, next year are the European elections. Who knows what that's going to mean for UK MEPs? We don't really know at the moment. But for us, we're really thinking about how to use that, and the fact that MEPs are really thinking about their campaign and how to get people to vote and to vote for them. So and the fact that a lot of polling booths are in public libraries, we're thinking about doing something around that, really getting MEPs into libraries and making it worth their while. Moving on, I think I've messed up my numbers slightly, but it's fine. Number four, what have we learned about European advocacy? We already have the tools at our fingertips. I'm going to put them all up here. A lot of what we've done, like I said, has been around kind of debunking advocacy, making it kind of less scary. But also we've been very conscious of not reinventing the wheel, because there are some fantastic resources out there already. These are just a couple of examples of things, and I have a list at the end which I can share with you, of things that already exist and that are made especially for library advocacy. But I just want to talk about three things that we've done, that we've created ourselves, some advocacy tools. So, excuse me, in the top corner you can see our libraries and skills fact sheets. I did print some off and then I left them in the printer in Brussels. So sorry about that, but they're all on our website, so you're very welcome to download them, print them, use them. And the idea was to bring together data from libraries, so one per member state, with EU level data about digital skills. So really, just by putting those two sets of data together, already telling a story about libraries and digital skills in Europe. And down the bottom corner here, you can see this is a little snapshot from our Libraries Change Lives tour. This was a tour we did all around Europe where we took MEPs, I think it was 15 MEPs, again, into a library, into their country, to meet librarians, to meet users. We had an MEP, Julie Ward, go to Manchester with Neil, and we did some really nice communications tools around that. So there's some really short, nice videos and quotes and things. So if you just search Libraries Change Lives, you'll be able to find our online publication there. And we find sometimes when the data is unavailable or is not telling the story that we want it to tell, these stories and anecdotes can work really well with policymakers as well. Like, we've often shown a little video in meetings with representatives from the Commission or the Parliament, and that's a really nice illustration of our message. Finally, I just want to talk about social media. How many of you use Twitter? Oh, wow, okay. You can all go and follow us then, and I'll tell my boss I got loads of new followers, so that's good. But that's something we've really worked on, and we've built it up from scratch, really. And we find that Twitter especially, but also Facebook to some extent, has been an incredibly useful platform for communicating with policymakers, and particularly with MEPs who tend to be very active on there, and it tends to be a very direct method of communication with them. And often conferences in Brussels, it feels like literally half the conversation is happening on Twitter. So it's really important for us to have a voice there and to be a part of that conversation. But I think it's also been really interesting for us to use Twitter as a tool to see what's happening in the sector. And I do get the impression, maybe because I'm also Anglophone and a Brit, that the UK libraries have some really interesting stuff going on there, and sometimes some quite challenging stuff. But it's been really interesting for us to be able to share, and maybe to see Twitter as a platform that allows a bit more freedom and a bit more creativity than maybe your library websites or that you would have in a professional capacity. So just to say that I think we very much see social media as a tool for advocacy as well. Number five, I think I'm just on time. The final thing we've learned, and it sounds cheesy, but we never advocate alone. So I mean that in two senses. Firstly, what I mean is, I think library advocacy cannot just be about librarians saying how great libraries are. I think it's so much stronger when we bring our community with us, so when we can make our users our ambassadors, or our project partners our ambassadors, and when we can make our policymakers our ambassadors, it's even stronger. And we love this example. This is something from Manchester that Neil has been working on. I guess some of you are familiar with this. It's the local councillor, I think, now sends around a newsletter to the constituents from him about what's happening in libraries. And for us, that's just fantastic advocacy for that message to be coming from a policymaker. But when I say we never advocate alone, I also mean globally and at a European level, but also kind of when we're thinking about global librarianship. Often, when we've brought together groups of librarians from different countries in Europe, we find that they're often facing similar challenges, even though they're coming from different countries. I say that I actually do think that the UK has been through some really difficult stuff with libraries that maybe other countries haven't, but I think the fact remains that it's really important to be sharing and to be sharing successes, failures, challenges. This is a photo of what we call our advocacy lab. So it's a group of some of the best, you like to think they're the best librarians in Europe. I'll leave you to spot Neil in there somewhere. That's visiting Ghent's library in Belgium. So we come together once every 6 months or so. And it's always just such an educational and inspirational thing to see these stories being shared. And I think when we're thinking about global librarianship, we're looking now to the future to see how we can put together some formal or informal networks of library leaders. I'm thinking also about the Living Knowledge Network, maybe as an example as well, and seeing how we can maybe use that at a European level, because it's just so valuable for the individual librarians, but I think also for the sector. So that's it from me. So just to kind of wrap up, five things we've learned about library advocacy in Europe is all about relationships. We can make the policy agenda work for us in Europe. Librarians make excellent ambassadors. We already have so many tools at our fingertips, but what's important for us is that we never advocate alone. Thank you.